morning. I'm a big baseball fan. I've always been a baseball player. I love the sport. I've played it my whole life. And for me, there's no greater feeling than getting in the batter's box, just me and the pitcher. And it's funny because you usually fail more than you succeed when you hit. And yet it's just, I love it. I love it so much. But something that I just observed in my life over the years playing baseball, and this is probably true, you'll probably relate if you've played any sport, if you've really had any hobby, is that the longer you do something, you look back and you're like, oh, if only I knew then what I knew now. Now, I remember when I got to high school playing baseball in high school, I'd look back on my travel ball days as a kid like, oh, if only I knew what I knew then, what I knew now, oh, I would have been unstoppable. And then when I got to college, looking back at me playing high school, like, oh, if only I knew what I knew in college when I played high school ball, I would have been the best high school player ever. And now when I play city league slow pitch softball, I look back at college and just think, if only I could play like I once used to be able to. But in 2 years ago, in 2018, I coached a pony team. I had 11 and 12-year-old kids that I got to coach, and it was an awesome experience. But coaching just, it made me want to play so bad. Now, my kids would be out there playing, I'd be in the dugout, like, oh, I just want to go play with them. And it's almost frustrating, like, you guys can't hit this pitcher he throws so slow. Like, I'd be hitting over the fence every time. Or you watch them, like, make some foolhardy play on the base, like, let me run the bases for you, get out of there, you know what you're doing. And I had this, a whole season, I just want to play baseball. And it was so funny, though, because I just for the first time ever really coaching, it hit me like, no, like, my job isn't to play. My job is to coach. That my responsibility on this field is not for me to get out there, but to help these kids and train these kids so that they can play. But I was not the one on the field. That I could instruct and I could coach, but when the game started, I'd set the lineup, but it was them who had to throw. It was them who had to hit. It was them who had to run the bases and play catch. That I couldn't play the game. It was their responsibility. And I think in the faith it works the same way. That in following Jesus, the pursuit of Jesus, is someone else can't follow Jesus for you. That is our own individual responsibility. And last week we talked about what it looks like to live in the last days. What does it look like to live in light of the last days, and we kind of ended looking at the passage in Hebrews 10, which talks about spurring one another on toward love and good deeds, that we're supposed to encourage each other daily as that final great day is approaching. And that's the call of the church, to encourage, to spur one another on, that we have this responsibility to one another. But I want to look at the inverse today, or the opposite, and that's the one being encouraged. The one who is being spurred on toward love and good deeds. The recipient of encouragement. Because we do have a responsibility to one another to help build each other up. But the ultimate responsibility is on the individual. It's on us. It's on I. It's on me. That I have a responsibility to follow after Jesus. That there is a sense of ownership that one has to have for their faith. That in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus says, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. That the one that God finds blessed, the one that the Lord looks in favor on, is the one who has this hunger and thirst, this drive and desire that says, I want more of Jesus. It's like after a really long flight, come back to California, you are racing to In-N-Out because you're starving. That singular focus and drive to get to the restaurant, that's the kind of heart that God wants. Someone who says, I hunger and I thirst for more of Jesus. Because we are ultimately responsible for our faith. That no one else can follow Jesus for you. And so that's what we're going to look at this morning. And I think it's kind of a serious message. And we're going to look at a passage I think is a very serious one that we ought to consider and think wisely. But I hope that it's an encouragement. I hope that it encourages us and just to focus and to crystallize in our minds what it means to be a disciple of Jesus, and that it encourages us to be even greater disciples of Jesus. The one that we were just singing about, the one who leaves the 99 behind, this is who we're following. And I hope as we open Scripture that we hear this probably serious and sober message from God and His Word that says, yes, Jesus is our Lord, and we are following after Him. And so we're going to open up the book of Hebrews yet again and say, what is God saying to us? Because we are accountable for our own faith. Not our church, not our pastor, not your spouse, not your friends, that the ultimate responsibility and ownership is on us. So if you have a Bible, open up to Hebrews chapter 5. Hebrews chapter 5, at the end of the chapter. Hebrews 5, and we're going to start in verse 11. Here is the word of the Lord. We have much to say about this, but it is hard to make it clear to you because you no longer try to understand. In fact, though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you the elementary truths of God's word all over again. You need milk, not solid food. Anyone who lives on milk, being still an infant, is not acquainted with the teaching about righteousness. But solid food is for the mature, who by constant use have trained themselves to distinguish good from evil. This is some serious criticism by the author of Hebrews to his audience. That it starts out with this incredibly sober comment that they aren't even trying to understand anymore. The author says, it's hard to make it clear to you because you no longer try to understand. Think about that. Right? This is a teacher in the faith. We don't know who wrote the book of Hebrews. God only knows. He was trying to teach his audience, Christians in the first century, about Jesus. And they're not even trying to understand anymore. They're not even interested. And I read this, and it almost breaks my heart. It's tragic that there are a people of God who aren't even trying to understand. Not only that, but this is the author of the book of Hebrews. Like, this is the very words of God. There is literally no better teacher than the author of Hebrews, inspired by the Holy Spirit, writing the words of God. Here they have literally the best teacher on the planet, the Holy Spirit, inspired writing. And they're not even trying to comprehend. They're not even interested in hearing what God is saying. They're not even trying to follow it out, that this is a tragedy. And then he continues. He continues and almost like twists the screw even more. In fact, though, by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you the elementary truths of God's word all over again. That you guys have had so much time and so much training that you should be teachers by now. You should know this material. You should know God so well that you can teach others to follow him. And yet they don't, they have to relearn it. And it's imagine someone in high school, they're in trigonometry, and the teachers finds out, like, you don't know how to add? Like, you're in high school, you should know how to add by now. This is, like, you should know these things that the author of Hebrew can't even believe that his audience doesn't know the basic truths. They're not even trying to learn. That the author of Hebrews has to pause in his book to say, wait a second, there's a problem here. You're not seeking to grow. That there are times in our lives when we need to hear this message, and it was this time for this audience, that it's time to grow up. It's time to take responsibility. It's time to take ownership of your faith. And that this is the call in all areas of life, when you think about it, that this is the responsibility of a parent to their children, to raise them up so that they can be responsible, productive adults. That the goal of childhood is to raise your kids up to be adults, to be responsible in ownership of their lives. That this is a goal of coaching in any sport at any level, to get your kids to perform to their very best ability and to have the drive to compete at the highest level. And the same is true in the faith for this author of Hebrews calling out to the church that he's writing to and really the whole global church everywhere. Take ownership and responsibility for your faith. That a disciple, someone who follows Jesus, is someone who takes that responsibility for themselves. And that's the very definition of a disciple. Because a disciple, the word means a student or a learner. That more than that, it has the sense of like an apprenticeship, that it's not just learning head knowledge and facts, but living out, following your master, that Jesus is our great master and we disciple after him. We follow after him in every way. that this is what it means to be a disciple. And the author of Hebrews cries out, be responsible. Take ownership of the faith. And as I read this, I know that there are lots of people in our church this morning who love Jesus and who passionately follow after him. I have been in Bible studies. I have been in conversations. I have seen so many people in this church who live this out, who have this sense of ownership and responsibility, and who follow the Lord faithfully wherever he leads. But I don't want us to just gloss over things like this, because the reality is not everyone follows Jesus with this sense of ownership. That I think one of the saddest verses in Scripture in Matthew, when Jesus says that not everyone who says, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. That there are people that don't take ownership, don't actually change their lives to follow their master, that they just pay lip service. That I think about, this is Sunday, that the church around the globe, usually in the mornings right now, are meeting to worship God, and that there are people in churches all over this planet who have no sense of responsibility and ownership for their faith. That just because you're sitting in a seat hearing about Jesus doesn't mean you're actually following Jesus. That there is this responsibility to take ownership for your own faith. And that this is the message of Hebrews this morning. Do we have this sense of ownership and responsibility? Have we made our faith our own? We have a responsibility to be growing. But the beautiful thing about the gospel, and really the beautiful thing about even this passage, is that this isn't the end of the line. That as long as we have breath in our lungs, there's always a chance to grow. There's always a chance to change and to make changes. And even though the author of Hebrews is giving this warning to the church, it's not the final word. Look what he says in verse 12, at the end of 12, at the end, at the very end, the last sentence. You need milk, not solid food. Anyone who lives on milk, being still an infant, is not acquainted with the teachings about righteousness. But solid food is for the mature, who by constant use have trained themselves to distinguish good from evil. That the hope and the call is to change your diet, to switch from milk to solid food. Learn how to feed yourself. And the analogy is one of a baby, that when a baby is born, they are completely dependent on their mother for their nourishment, that they can't feed themselves, they can't find food from themselves, they literally have to be suckled. And the author of Hebrews picks up this analogy of a nursing infant and says, don't be like that. Be like an adult and eat solid food. Be like the one who goes out and is able to find food and prepare food for themselves. Be the one who is mature. And I love the description. What is a mature Christian in verse 14? Who by constant use have trained themselves to distinguish good from evil. That they are active in their faith. They are active in their discipleship. That they train themselves. That there is an ownership and responsibility for their faith. That they are taking active steps to say, how can I follow Jesus more faithfully? Not only that, but it's constant. Who by constant use have trained themselves. Exactly what Sunday morning Bible study was all about. To train yourselves to be godly. That you don't, Cody already stole my analogy. That's in my notes, I promise. Right? That Olympians, no Olympian wins the Olympics if they're not training for years in advance. It's okay. It's just so good, we got to say it twice. That there is a responsibility, not just to go through the motions, but to say, how can I constantly train myself in deeper and deeper faithfulness and obedience to the Lord? And then in the last part, who train themselves to distinguish good from evil. That I think that this language of distinguishing good from evil is really just saying, how do we shape our minds? That the mature Christian, the one who is growing, is able to see what is right and what is wrong. In other words, they're able to see the world as God sees it. That they're able to have the mindset of God, the worldview of God himself, and saying, what is the good and what is the bad, and how can I live more in the good? That the training The constant training is to develop our mind and develop our worldview so that we can view the world as God sees it. I know I'm really biased, but I love Biola University's motto. A few years ago, right after I graduated, they changed their motto, but I love it so much. I'm glad they changed it. Their motto now is thinking biblically. And on their marquees and on their website, it'll say thinking biblically, and then they'll have another space for another word. And it'll say art. And then it'll switch to culture. And then it'll switch to ethics, to biology. And then it like speeds up like a really fast marquee, and you see all these words flying by. And then it ends with the word everything. That the motto of Biola is thinking biblically about everything. I don't think that should just be Biola's motto, though. It should be Christians everywhere. That we think biblically about everything. That our mind is being trained and transformed so that we have God's mindset about every facet of this life. Who by constant use are training ourselves to distinguish good from evil. That this is the call of the mature Christian. Because I think the natural tendency is just to drift. That life is like a river. You can't stay still in a river. You are either swimming towards your goal or the current is going to take you away. And that this is just the natural tendency of life. We're only 12 days into January, and I'm sure gyms are already thinning out. That we naturally, if we do not stay focused, if we do not keep pushing and keep fighting and keep training, the natural tendency of humans everywhere is to slowly drift off, to revert back to the old. And so the author of Hebrews picks up this theme and says, listen up, church, here's the warning. The one who is not trying to understand, the one who is not taking ownership of their faith is drifting away from the Lord. Now, this is the serious warning that I want us to pay careful attention to. That this is what it looks like. Daily to follow Jesus. Seek out solid food. Be the kind of person that trains yourselves constantly, actively saying, how can I be responsible for my own faith? And then the author is going to transition in chapter 6 to what he thinks the elementary truths are. Chapter 6, verse 1. Therefore, let us move beyond the elementary teachings about Christ and be taken forward to maturity, not laying again the foundation of repentance from acts that lead to death and of faith in God, instructions about cleansing rites, the laying on of hands, the resurrection of the dead, and eternal judgment. And God permitting, we will do so. And the author of Hebrews paints a picture of this is what the mature Christian looks like. Someone who moves beyond the elementary teachings and keeps pressing forward. That the mature Christian is someone who has a firm understanding of the basics and is continuing to develop their growth beyond that. That the mature Christian is a lifelong learner. But I want to pause real quick because this list is interesting to me. Because if I'm reading this passage correctly, the author seems to be saying that these are the elementary teachings. These are the things that he thinks Christians should understand. What is the foundation? The basic Christianity that Christians should know, it's repentance from acts that lead to death, faith in God, instructions about cleansing rites, laying on hands, resurrection of the dead, and eternal judgment. And I think the question is, can we talk intelligently about all these things? Do we have what the author of Hebrews considers is the basic foundation of Christianity? Do we understand these topics? Because if we don't, I think the author of Hebrews is trying to say, you still need milk. You haven't crossed the line in the analogy into the solid food, that we are in the same boat as the original audience who's reading this, if we don't understand these things. And the only way to do that is to take personal responsibility and ownership for our own growth. And I'll be the first to admit, I still need to take personal responsibility for one of these. That I read in here instructions about cleansing rites, and I don't know exactly what that's a reference to. That I know that in the Greek, the Greek word there is baptismo, which means to immerse. And I know other translations say washings or immersions. And so I don't know why it says cleansing rites. And it's not like this is the first time I've read this passage. And so I was convicted this week because I was reading this. I was like, I still haven't research this. Why does the author of Hebrews use this word and it's translated this way? And so I stand up here the first to admit that I still need to eat meat and not solid food and not milk. That this is the call when we read Scripture. Do we take responsibility to say, I want to understand. I need to grow. This is ultimately my responsibility in life. Someone who is always learning more and more about God. And when I say learning, I want to back up now because I don't think learning is just head knowledge. That head knowledge is, to use a fancy term, it's propositional knowledge. That it's the knowledge of propositions, the knowledge of truth claims. But that's not the only type of knowledge out there. Another big category of knowledge is what we call practical knowledge. That the ability to make a table, to swing a hammer, to operate a screwdriver, to sew, whatever it may be, this is what we call practical knowledge. Because when you watch a YouTube video to learn how to swing a hammer, does not mean that you can make a table. That knowledge is not just head knowledge of facts, but knowledge is also the ability to do things. And that in the grand scope of what it means to follow Jesus, it's not just the learning of facts, of propositional head knowledge. But that following Jesus means that we're growing in the practical knowledge of what it means to follow Jesus. Things like, how do I live out my faith? How do I learn to share the gospel? How do I live out the fruits of the Spirit? How do I listen to the voice of God? How do I let God lead me in life? That all of these things are maybe not head knowledge like reading the Bible, but they're still knowledge and still just as vital for the Christian. That we are growing in all areas of knowledge. And so this morning, I hope that we hear the message that the author of Hebrews is pleading for his audience to understand. Be someone who grows. Take responsibility for your faith. Take ownership for your own growth. That this isn't something, I don't want it to feel like a burden. Because in any friendship, in any relationship, you don't learn everything about the other person at once. It takes time. Things happen and you grow together. And so I would say that the mature Christian is someone who's just constantly growing in some area. That they are committed to saying, you know, I need to grow more in this area. And God, help me grow in this area. And that's a season of life. And then a new season comes along. And there's something else that needs to be shaped or molded. And so we grow in that area. And that the life of a mature Christian is someone who is season by season learning in some area. That no one learns everything all at once. But over the lifetime of a believer, we should be adding to our knowledge, practical and propositional, in every area following Jesus. And so pick some topic. Pursue it. Maybe reading this list in Hebrews, you're like, oh, I don't know much about one of these different things. I don't know much about the resurrection of the dead. I don't know much about, for me, instructions about cleansing rites. So we pick these things and we pursue it. Or maybe it's something in the area of practical knowledge that, you know, you read in Philippians that you're supposed to do everything without complaining or grumbling. And you're like, yeah, I need to work on that. God, help me train and grow in that area to develop my godliness. But in either way, the Christian, the mature Christian, is someone who's saying, how can I keep growing in some area? And so this morning, I just wanted us to hear the call of discipleship clearly. That Jesus says, come follow after me. And what that means is we take responsibility and say, yes, Lord, I am going to follow after you. And my prayer this morning is that you would hear the call of Jesus, because it's not the call of Benji. I can't love God for you. Ken cannot love God for you. That is something at the individual level that says, I love God, therefore I am going to follow after him. Because when Jesus was on this planet, all through the Gospels, you see time and time again large crowds that follow Jesus. That they listened to what Jesus had to say. They large crowds followed him. They walked around lakes to catch up with Jesus. But just because they were listening, just because they were there, doesn't mean that they were disciples of Jesus. And that when the rubber hit the road, most of the crowd walked away from Jesus. That the call of Jesus is to say, come follow after me in every area of life. And we know this from some ancient Jewish documents, that there was this idiom in Jewish culture, this idiom of being covered in the dust of your rabbi, being covered in the dust of your teacher. that for, this is just a common colloquial phrase they used, but the idea was that if you had some rabbi, if you followed some rabbi, that you would be covered in the dust that he kicked up with his feet. And the only way that you can do that is if you're following so closely that that dust falls straight on you, that you follow your teacher so closely that with every step he kicks up dust and it cloaks you yourself. And that this is what discipleship means. Be covered in the dust of Jesus. This morning I call us all to take responsibility, to take ownership. And if you are, awesome. Keep pursuing Jesus. If there's an area you're like, hey, I want to learn more, I want to grow more, I challenge you, pursue it this week. Ask another Christian. Find some resource. Start shaping your life so that that the evidence of your life is clear, that I follow Jesus so closely that I am covered in his dust. Let's pray. God, this morning we humble ourselves before you. Lord, I know that we've just been singing so many songs this morning. Just exalt your name and exalt what you've done for us. And Lord, I pray that the response of our lives would be ones that want to follow after you. God, that our church would be shaped by individuals who take ownership, Lord, of their discipleship and their faith, and that they follow after you, God, that you would call us all in specific areas to grow. Lord, and for each of us, it's probably a different area, but Lord, I pray that we would be a growing church, God, because, God, we need you, God, and without you, we're lost. And so I just pray that this would be our heart's cry, God, that we want more of you. And so I pray that we would follow you so closely, God, that the dust you kick up would reside on us. In Jesus' name, amen.